Senator, wanted to talk a little bit. There's a bill in the House. You have a bill in the Senate that's it's a county board vacancies bill. Right now, in county boards, they're filled a particular way. The county party of whatever the letter after the name of the, we'll just say commissioner in this point, or in this case, the county party will put forward candidates for commissioners to decide who they want to replace. What changes would your bill propose to that process?
Well, I'll keep it real simple. One of my commissioners in Whitman County, where we're going through that process right now, was reading real deep, and her constitution and the statute didn't align. So it's easier to amend the statute than it is the constitution. It's simply a technical correction that the statute follows the constitution.
Do you know which aspect was off?
You know, I don't have it in front of me right now, but Commissioner Swanick over in Whitman County is a stickler for details, and he's getting ready to choose a new colleague.
And yeah, that you certainly, if you're going to dive in, you're going to look at it and see something amiss. And we've had the opportunity to talk to Commissioner Swanick, and yes, he very much comes across as a stickler for details.
Well, I think it's refreshing that, you know, our officials are actually reading the statutes themselves and reference the state constitution.
And we shouldn't ask for anything less, quite honestly. Numbers recently came out, Senator. We know that the previous governor had a real fascination with green energy projects and electric vehicles. California right now, as they're doing cleanup for the wildfires, are having real issues because any electric vehicle, they're actually having to mark vehicles, EV or not EV, because the batteries could spontaneously combust if they've been, yes, with fire. So they're creating a little issue down there. But the $45 million that was spent last year for the EV incentive program, apparently not only was it taken advantage of by some of the more wealthy individuals in Washington State, but it really didn't do anything to move us closer to the previous governor's goals on carbon emissions.
Well, it's absolutely a fact. I recommended that people vote to repeal the cap and tax law simply because we were not getting a positive return on investment for the environment, let alone the economy. And time again, I saw that, you know, $200 checks to citizens to make up for potential utility bill hikes. Well, how does that move the dial? Buying timberland and giving it away to tribes. How does that move the dial? Defining environmental justice of how many tons of carbon does it get rid of? It really doesn't. And rightfully so, unfortunately, he is the former governor that doesn't answer for his errors.
We're talking with State Senator Mark Schessler from the 9th District here on The Bottom Line.
You know, and Senator, what's been the tone? I know that there were some interesting moves concerning staffers being allowed into the House and things like that and some other things going on. I think a lot of people are still trying to gauge the temperature with the new governor. It kind of came out of the gate a little more reserved, made the comments about, you know, tax increases as a last resort or things like that. Now that you guys have been a few days into session, what is your read, or do you have a read on which way he might be leaning a little bit this session?
You know, I'm going to remain the positive guy. I think this governor is aiming more towards the political center than his predecessor, and let's give him the benefit of the doubt until he shows us otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Do you predict maybe if he continues down this center, more centric path, do you anticipate maybe some collisions with his own party? Because they're throwing out some, especially in the House, they're throwing out some very interesting bills.
Well, you know, I think if you if you govern to the center, you will probably catch a few javelins from your base on the left or the right. But if he wants to be a two-term governor, I think you need to move a little closer to the center, and the odds are even higher you become a two-term governor.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with State Senator Mark Schessler from the 9th District here on The Bottom Line. Senator Schessler, it's been, as John said, an interesting opening to things. Majority party a little surprised by what they heard in the inauguration speech. But one of the things that the governor has definitely aligned with his base on is a stance on immigration. And we know the Trump administration has threatened federal funding to sanctuary states, sanctuary cities, if they impede ICE in any way, shape, or form. We know a number of police departments around the state have said that they're not going to assist ICE with detainers. And then the Pullman Police Department came out and said that they will. So it seems that there's a little conflict with some of the departments around the state. But has there been any discussion in the caucus or any discussion among lawmakers regarding what federal funds could potentially be in jeopardy if the president decides that Washington state is in no comply mode and decides to yank money?
Well, first of all, it hits me a little closer to home because one of the NGOs and the attorney general are suing Adams County for following the law as they should. So I'm ground zero locally. I think if you dig into this deep enough and take it literally, we could have a very interesting end game on the budget because you can go through countless programs in countless areas that the money comes through different federal buckets. If that money becomes ineligible, you either have to get really efficient with state money or you're going to raise taxes one heck of a lot to make up for it. And it could be a very interesting end game in budgeting and closing a session.
You know, one of the things, too, Senator, that is contributing to the budget issue is there's a few million dollars out there of lawsuits or settlements pending against the state. And it seems like the majority party loves to get sued. That's how they try to find ways to get themselves their laws of favor is going through the court system and end arounding everything else. Is how much money, if you're aware, is the state responsible for in those settlements and potential or still maybe pending lawsuits? And is there a way to control that?
Well, there's... I think for a round number, let's pick somewhere approaching $200 million.
Wow.
On the other hand, I don't know how you legislate against stupid unless you replace them with smarter people.
Fair enough. Fair enough. If you could do that, half the majority party would be gone.
Yeah. Oh, wow. $200 million. I thought it was maybe in the 20s or 50s.
$200 million.
No, but the cumulative effect of all of these over recent years piles up. That's obviously one of the things that's dug the hole we're in budget-wise. But here's a fact that one of my colleagues shared with me. You look at the deficit, there is $1.75 billion in expenses that were put on the layaway plan. Now, if you simply say, we'll hit the pause button on these for a couple of years, see what the economy does, rethink whether they're necessary, you've made a very sizable down payment on a deficit.
Yeah.
This isn't talking about cutting higher ed by 3%. It's not talking about... who's going to lose their nursing home? This is just the wish list ahead. You get the down payment.
We're talking with State Senator Mark Schessler from the 9th here on The Bottom Line. Senator, one of the other interesting things as we're moving forward here in session, we're getting to budget time, is how the agencies that the governor has directed to cut costs, how they exactly they come back with cutting costs. He even targeted his previous department to do some significant cost cutting. Has there been any movement on that? And when does the when would the legislature see those reductions?
You know, I think the governor probably has a timeline that he's looking at that we're not privy to. But if you're going to protect the taxpayer, you really don't have sacred cows. And the AG's office and Nick Brown certainly aren't a sacred cow. But sometimes you have to get back to old-fashioned fiscal responsibility. If you were raised by Depression-era parents, knew your grandparents, they always said, turn the lights out. Don't turn all of them on. Every night when I leave the Capitol, the GA building, which has been vacant for 15 years, is still partially lit at night. You can't even turn the lights off. I dropped a bill this year to eliminate free electricity for vehicles that weren't being used for state purposes. You turn out the lights, charge for electricity, and you start going back to real basic Dave Ramsey, grandpa and grandma principles.
Senator, I wanted to ask you, because being in the agriculture industry as long as you have, I wanted to get your thoughts on the bill that would place dairy farms and feedlots potentially under the Climate Commitment Act. And how exactly does the state plan to measure cow methane in order to determine if these dairy farms and feedlots will fall under the Climate Commitment Act regulations?
You know, we have no clue how that would happen. I like to say we should listen to people that know which end of the cow you put the hay in.
Yeah.
You know, and we've heard that they're starting to refer to it, even though over there is the cow fart bill.
Well, it's a cow fart bill, no doubt about it. But, you know, we have some great people in animal science, and they believe, yeah, we could probably make some great gains with feed additives for dairy cattle or cattle on feed rather than a monitoring program for cows.
Well, I guess they don't have other things to worry about, like public safety or anything like that. So, you know, you're going to go after cows.
Well, maybe we need to have permits to own a cow, like a firearm.
You know, and that's, yeah, all of that is just even more fascinating. Has the bill been introduced in your chamber yet regarding the severe uptick in taxes on ammunition and firearms?
No, it's, as I look at my email stream, it appears that about two-thirds or more of the really anti-gun bills have originated in the House. Now, when we get closer to budget time, I'm sure somebody will probably throw out some sort of an ammunition or gun tax. They really don't do a lot to balance the budget, but they make liberals feel real good about themselves when they do it.
State Senator Mark Schessler from the 9th District. Appreciate your time this afternoon, sir. Always good talking to you.
Yes, thank you.
And we'll talk with you again soon.
Great to be back with you and all your listeners. Take care.
You too.